नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जया मुदिरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। So we are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 chapter 80 chapter entitled Sudama Visits Lord Krishna, text number 34. Please repeat after me. Naham ijya prajatibhyam tapasopasamenava tushyeyam sarvabhutatma गुरु शुश्रूषयर यथा। नाहम इज प्रजातिभ्याम तपसोपशमेनवा तस्येयं सर्वभूतात्मा गुरु शुश्रूषया यथा। नाहम इज प्रजातिभ्याम तपसोपशमेन वा तुष्येयं सर्वभूतात्मा गुरु शुश्रूषया यथा। नाहम इज प्रजातिभ्याम तपसोपशमेन वा तुष्येयं सर्वभूतात्मा गुरु शुश्रूषया यथा। Matadis? Na, not, aham, I, ijya, by ritual worship, prajatibhyam, the higher birth of Brahman initiation, tapasa, by austerity, upashamena, by self-control, va, or tushyayam, can be satisfied, sarva, of all, bhuta, beings, Atma, the soul, Guru, to one spiritual master, Shushushaya, by faithful service, Yatha, as. Translation and purport by the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, I, the soul of all beings, am not as satisfied by ritual worship, Brahmanical initiation, penances or self-discipline as I am by faithful service rendered to one spiritual master. Purport, the word prajati here indicates either begetting good children or the second birth obtained by ritual initiation into Vedic culture. Although both of these are praiseworthy, Lord Krishna here states that faithful service rendered to a bona fide spiritual master is still higher.
Om Ajnantimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deham Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Sa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Saptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubha Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So if any clarity is needed, if any ambiguity has to be vanquished, this is one of those verses where in very crystal clear terms Krishna kind of lays down the law very, very simply and clearly what he puts at the highest pedestal. So it is not that need for Brahmanical initiation, penances, self-discipline is not needed. Those are the stepping stones, and those are really the needed you can say levels, but it is not the end by itself. That actually leads us further to the ultimate goal for us, which is fulfilling the swadharma of every atma, which is to serve the Paramatma, the devotional service. And the entire process of Krishna consciousness is primarily to find that process, or to rediscover that process. It is already inert within us. I wouldn't say inert, it is actually latent, but it's just covered. And then by mercy of Vaishnavas and by our past karmas, we get the opportunity to cleans our soul, and gradually the clarity starts coming. Just like we remove the dust from the mirror, and then this picture becomes clear as to, and then there is also evidence that it is working. And so Krishna has said that, but you know, if you see right through scriptures, and we just see a sample of that, but this is the basic foundation of every scripture, every acharyas who have come, laying down the importance of first having a spiritual master, and then what is the attitude of a bona fide disciple, or somebody who wants to progress in spiritual life, somebody who is interested, what should he do? So, one such is Jiva Goswami, who is considered to be of the six Goswamis. He was really perhaps the most prolific writer of the six, and he has been quoted very often because much of the links to the Shastras comes really from his interpretations of the Shastras. And he says that the spiritual master is the Atma of the disciple. So this again leaves no ambiguity. It's very clear. Why does he say it? Because just like the Atma is the very life of a disciple, and you know, in other words, when you don't have the Atma, there is no life. So for a disciple, when we say disciple, it's somebody who is a genuine seeker of spiritual knowledge. For such a person, genuine knowledge and genuine spiritual master is the essence of everything that is. Without that, there is no life. Just like without food, we can't survive. Similarly, for a genuine seeker, so he's not a karma mesha bhakta. He's not someone who is also having many other interests, but very, this is the highest priority. So, it's like when we, you know, when we may have endless wonderful events and thoughts in our dreams, but when we wake up, then we see there's reality. So similarly, really for any aspiring person or in spiritual life, the real life begins only when he or she accepts the instructions of a spiritual master. Then really, real life begins. That's why it's called rebirth. That is really where a person who actually understands, the word initiation itself means beginning. So the person who actually understands that now a path has begun, the real life, because after so many lifetimes, we have been told we've come through millions of lives, and now at this stage, we have, for no understanding of ours, no credit to us, we have been given the opportunity to come in contact with bona fide spiritual knowledge and spiritual personalities, acharyas, it's Raj Vidya, the treasure house. So without our own, you know, our inclination, desires, without our understanding, but we suddenly land up, it's like you wake up and you find that you are in a house of jewels and you wonder what is happening. So having come to this level, a person will take that, a sincere person will grab the opportunity and try to push further. Even Lord Krishna himself has stated in Bhagavad Gita, he tells Arjuna that he is not my devotee who comes to me directly, but who comes to takes the shelter of my devotees. That means he means that his devotees means the ones who are his representatives. The spiritual master is his genuine representative, and those who actually come to seek shelter rather than going directly to Krishna, those are the genuine disciples according to devotees according to Krishna. Prabhupada gives a very simple analogy of how when we want to meet a very influential person. So when we want to meet such a person, you try to please people who are close to that person. Maybe he used to say that even if he has a dog or a son, and if you please that person, or that dog, then that big man is pleased. Because they are attached to, they are close to the heart of that influential person. So similarly, we are in that position where if we please the spiritual master, because he knows the heart of Krishna, he understands what is good for us, and in fact the mercy and compassion flows through the parampara, which is actually coming from Krishna himself to us. So we can access it by simply becoming an obedient follower of spiritual master. And that's the attitude is the most important. It is not the type of service we do. It is not the type of, for instance, someone, there was a childish debate. I mean, a debate which Prabhupada called it childish in his time, where devotees were arguing and they finally came to him and said, Prabhupada, it was basically between book distribution and deity worship, Sankirtan and deity worship, because both were very important. So it was done in the most laudable objectives. So Prabhupada called it childish. He said, it really doesn't matter. It is the consciousness with which you want to attempt to please me. So in that context, even sweeping the floor or doing something which is not observed by anyone, maybe washing plates or doing any, or even at home, maybe doing something, even bringing up children, or so everything is on the same platform because they are all spiritual. So the critical factor is that if you want to influence the, if you want to come close to the influential person, in this case Krishna, we should know how we can please the spiritual master. Srila Rupa Goswami says that there are four prerequisites for a preliminary requirements really for an advancement in spiritual life. And so these are all indications of what is important for how critical it is that we need to have a spiritual master. So Rupa Goswami, this is in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says that first we have to accept the shelter of the lotus feet of a spiritual master. Second, we must take initiation from spiritual master and then learn the to follow his instructions. Third is to follow, obey his orders and perform devotional service. And fourth is to attempt to follow in the footsteps of the great acharyas under the direction of the spiritual master. So, we have seen that everybody says the same thing, how critical it is, how important that this is the real goal for us. Then whatever else we are doing is secondary. It is just an occupational need, or you can say occupational hazard, that we have, whatever it is, we dovetail it within the, because that also is really, it is not something which we know how we came into it. Either we had an inclination or we've just come, we went to an interview or our forefathers gave us some business to start. Whatever we are doing, or we are married into a family and then now we are serving that family. So that everything that is coming to us is coming from Krishna, but we have to see the signals in connection to Krishna. So if we have the primary need, that is the requirement to be a sincere disciple, follow a spiritual master, find a spiritual master, follow him, and obey him, and then everything becomes very simple. We would know how to dovetail our other needs. So we can actually do as well. Sometimes there is a misunderstanding that we have to concentrate only on this, yes, which means other things can be neglected or it is on a secondary level. It is on a secondary level in terms of importance, but it is not on secondary, but even that has to be performed to the best of our ability. Secondary does not mean that you give secondary treatment in terms of quality of attention. You may give less attention, but what we do, because everything that is done is finally for Krishna. So, it is not that our devotional service is only in the time we enter the temple or we open the spiritual book or take up the beads. Actually, ultimately, everything that we do, we will have, all compartments are broken. So therefore, while we may focus more in developing our spiritual life, but whatever else we are doing, for instance, relationship with our family, or even in our occupation. So we may spend less time, but whatever time we do quality time. We do the best we can
at least we have, so that we have to discharge the responsibility suitably. But we need not focus on it. So that's critical in it. So then, with all this understanding, what is the problem? I mean, life should be simple. People should be all spiritually inclined. We would have Satya Yuga against Ramraja everywhere. What is the problem? The problem in Kali Yuga is that it is not outside. It is us, and it is our mind. Our mind is the problem, because an uncontrolled mind, as said in the Bhagavad Gita, is the worst enemy, and a controlled mind is the best friend. So, how do we control the mind? So the controlling the mind means by the higher sense, the higher self really controls the lower self. So what is the higher self? And the higher self is really the word of Guru and Krishna. Simple. The higher self does not mean that I have the ability to discriminate between right and wrong. We would not be able to do anything unless we have that clarity and the guidance. So the lower self, because you know the mind is between the senses and the intelligence. Lower than the mind is the senses, and above the mind is the intelligence. So if the mind gets diverted to the senses and follows the dictates of the senses, then we are going to be dragged accordingly. While on the other hand, if the mind is guided by the intelligence to make the proper choices, then accordingly we will be moved to that direction. So therefore the higher self is where the intelligence tells us to avoid Maya and to associate with those things which are favorable, and the vice versa. So the critical thing is really, in simple issue, it's simple in to state, but therein lies the whole story for everyone, that the mind really is, and we are not even aware most of the times. When a desire springs, it blends itself so naturally into our thought process, into our thing, that we just feel, we just move towards it without even thinking. So that is where the Krishna consciousness word comes in. That consciousness that we awaken, which is really the presence of Krishna and everything around him, which is critical. And the whole process of Krishna consciousness is that. That is why Prabhupada insisted, not God consciousness, it's very vague, Krishna consciousness, because Krishna is a person, a reality, and we must acknowledge that. And he alone will, by coming closer to him, by feeling his presence, as what we'd feel the difference between a pure devotee and a aspiring devotee or a neophyte, is just this, that the pure devotee is always in feeling the presence of Krishna. Prabhupada said so many times that I have never felt the absence of my spiritual master even for a minute, even for a moment. Even when he went, spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left this world in 1935. Prabhupada left this world in 1977. So 42 years, he never felt the absence at all. So that is the matter of the mind. When Prabhupada left Vrindavan, everyone is astonished now. You know, it is, even now people are not able to believe how such a sadhu at the age of 70 he went, etc. But the thing is that he took Vrindavan with him. So it is again simply put, he took Vrindavan. What does it mean? That actually he never experienced absence of Vrindavan, the true presence of Krishna. Krishna playing on his flute with his gopis, Krishna being having all his pastimes. So wherever he went, so when he was in Los Angeles or whether he was in Nigeria, Vrindavan was with him, his Guru Maharaj was with him. So it is all in the mind. So, the training of the mind, I mean, the critical factor is that we have to bring the mind under the higher self. And how do we do it? It is said that it is by constant practice and detachment. So, what is constant practice? Constant practice means just accepting the authority of Krishna, worshipping Krishna, obeying Krishna, following his instructions. So just following that process, gradually, practice means a process. When you practice for your chemistry or for your mathematics, geometry, you constantly do it. The person who does well,
is not someone who just appears straight away in the exams. He has spent probably several hours every day for several months. So that practice is what, in everything, a carpenter who is considered to be the best in his field, a physician who is considered to be very, very good, a doctor, the skillful, everyone will practice. The only thing is, instead of a material, mundane activity, practicing for spiritual life means that it is a much higher level, because it is more subtle, and we have to, that awareness has to be there, that what are the challenges. For instance, in a simple material, mundane activity, the challenges also are obvious. Like, you have certain skills, which are, people are very skillful in their hands, and then they can, for instance, if they're doing a heart transplant, or, the best of surgeons, they're very skillful because they have that, they've got a lot of training, they have knowledge, they also have physical skills, but they know what to avoid, what not to avoid. But in such a case, it is much more challenging, because the challenges are all subtle. The biggest challenges are more subtle. The gross challenges are the first ones, but that is the minimum. But beyond that, so many other challenges are there. So therefore, we need the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, his representatives, who can, and following them and associating with them means that we do it with the fullest consciousness that we will benefit from that. Not as a mechanical process that I have, ticked a box and said, well, I've spent so much time, I've got a guru, so one aspect of my goal in life is done. Next is this. Not like that. It is actually, accepting the instructions may mean that we get chastisement, we may get corrections. We also realize that, we analyze and we realize that we are not actually following the spirit and what he wants. I may be doing the form but not the spirit. That actually really means, that's the key. That the attitude, as Prabhupada always said, is the most important. So you may do an activity which may be very laudable, but if the objective is that there's a subtle desire that I want awareness of people that to know that I'm doing this, whether I'm doing this service or that service, nobody may know externally, but internally that is then that is going to be a little drawback to us. So we have to be aware of that, and therefore what do we do to avoid that? Then we associate with those people we find who are oblivious of that, or who are devoid of that. So wherever we have if we find that our faith is a little less, our mind is deviating, then we hear those devotees, we serve those devotees, we associate with them in that way, so that rubs out on us, and we will be able to go forward. So the central issue is about the mind, and in Krishna's pastimes, the story of Vyomasura, the demon, is also an example for us, because Vyomasura he came in once when Krishna was playing with his friends, and then all of them were playing a game, and they divided into three sections. So there were the police, then there were the thieves, and then there were the lambs. So the thieves were supposed to steal the lambs, and the police were supposed to catch the thieves. So Vyomasura came in perfectly disguised as one of the gopas, and he played the role of a thief, and slowly he was taking away the children, the boys, and putting them in a cave. And of course the gopas were always never for a moment away from Krishna, but the instructions for us is that because the cowherd boys innocently put their trust in for a moment, at least in this particular demon who was actually posing as a thief, as also a cowherd boy. Therefore, they got into that predicament. So what we can see is that of course Krishna realized this. Krishna always knew that. But our predicament is like that we allow our mind to be, and mind comes in a very subtle form. So that is where the subtlety of the mind is such a challenge that we cannot overcome it on our own. Therefore, we need the help of higher powers, and we turn to them. Just like in the story of the sparrow and the eggs, when we, you know, this little sparrow was laying, had laid the eggs on the ocean bank, on the sand, and then the waves came and took the eggs away. So, now just imagine the sparrow. What is the size? Maybe not even a foot, maybe 6 inches, and we can't even imagine what the ocean is like. So, and the sparrow then challenges the ocean and says that, Mr. Ocean, give me back my eggs, otherwise I'm going to dry you up. So, the ocean's response would be like our response. We would laugh and say that this is the most ridiculous thing I've heard. And the sparrow actually with tremendous determination starts attempting to dry up the ocean. Now what can the sparrow do? But because the sparrow is in the same family as Garuda, and Garuda is the closest representative of Lord Vishnu, and when Garuda comes in and then he gives a threat to ocean, says you better give it back, then the ocean knows that now my time is up, I have to come and give it. So our situation like that, we can't do anything on our own, but when we have some big daddy behind us, no, then we have the strength. There's a nice analogy given to me once by Rasraj Prabhu in BI. In the early days, I remember, you know, it's like, he says, you know, just imagine if a 6-year-old boy is standing in, and in front of him there is this 300 kilo weightlift. You know, you have seen those weightlifters. Now, generally even the 110 kilo guys, when they lift those, you know, they take time and then they bring it here and then for 5 minutes they're struggling and then they take it up. So, what is a 5-year-old, 6-year-old boy going to do in front of that? And he's a young boy, he doesn't know. So he comes and he holds it here. And lo and behold, he does and it comes up. He doesn't know that Krishna is holding on the side and he's applying exactly the same pressure as the boy. Boy doesn't know it. And then he lifts it, but the boy thinks I am lifting it. But actually it is Krishna lifting it. So it's something like that where the power and the authority comes from anyone else. So from our spiritual master and from the parampara, the whole backing is there and ultimately coming from Krishna. So we can, whatever activity we do, and it's not that we are measuring success by the external results. We may completely fail in that, but it is the faith in which we do it and the sincere effort. For instance, you know, we glorify, one of the most glorious things for all devotees is really to read about Prabhupada's 12 years that he was there. He traveled 14 times around the world. 108 temples were built. The glorious disciples, 3 couples went to London and somebody went to New Mexico, and then how temples started. But has anyone considered that for every temple that was built, at least 10 efforts were made in 10 different cities which never came up? If you go to London, we only talk of the 3 couples. But if you read books about other devotees who have written it, Ranchot Prime's book and others, there are so many hundreds of devotees involved, so many efforts were made, there were failures, plenty of failures. So would we say that those had no value? So it is very important for us to get inspired by the success stories, because then that establishes the fact that yes, this process works and we should do it, and Krishna acknowledges. But and a mature understanding should be that it's not the success, the way we look at it, success that you know, and then everyone happily lived ever after. All, you know, the temple was built and a million people came first year. That will happen, but there will be many temples, lot of money. Somebody got cheated, somebody you know, blooped or went away. A lot of challenges there. All of that is service, because it's done, if it is done in the right consciousness with the faith. Even if the faith was there at that time, maybe the person may not have that much faith now. But that credit Krishna really acknowledges. Krishna sees that if a person is really attempting to do with the sincere desire, moment to moment, at that moment, then that credit will always be eternally with that person. So, we have to only concentrate on what is our attitude and what are the instructions, what we can do to help. And the rest is with Krishna. So it may have material success, may not have a success. There is a very nice analogy given in the Bhagavatam about the mind. There is a lantern. You've seen a lamp, a lantern, and then there is a light which comes inside. In the darkness you take it round. So what gives light inside is that wick. There is a wick which is lit, which is put on ghee, and then now if that if the lantern if it is the difference between whether the wick becomes black, because if the lantern becomes completely black, you cannot see the even the light inside. Is really how you light the wick and how you control that the light. So the analogy is that the mind is like the wick, and actually the ghee is what gives the light through the wick. So the ghee is this Hari Nam, Hari Katha, Hari Seva, which actually feeds the ghee. So if the wick is in touch constantly with the ghee, then we'll get the proper light, and then the illumination is there. Otherwise, if it is not properly illuminated, not properly in touch, then actually the lining becomes black and you cannot see inside even the light. It's supposed to give light, but the whole lantern turns black. So it will also mean that there'll be blackness in our life, in our vision, if we don't control that wick. So the point is that we have to also constantly seek association through this. And a wonderful story which inspires us in the Bhagavatam is Gajendra, the elephant. The amazing thing about the story is that actually Gajendra, he was the king of the elephants. He was more powerful than thousands of elephants of today. He had a large following, huge family, many wives and children and followers and everyone around him. And as we know the story that he had this battle with the crocodile who caught his leg with his teeth. And then this battle went on for years, for thousands of years. And then gradually the elephant is being dragged into the water, because the water is really the source of strength for the crocodile. He's in his natural surrounding. The elephant is slowly, slowly losing the battle. But the amazing thing is that Gajendra had done nothing in that life, in that lifetime, for devotional service. All his spiritual advancement was in the previous life, as King Indradumna, wherein he had actually been a great king, and then he had, at the end of it, he had passed on the mantle of leadership to the successor, and then he had gone to the forest for spiritual progress. So he was perfecting his life, and then there was a mistake, and then he gets cursed by a sage, and then the result was that he comes as an animal. So here he was faithfully following his animal existence, and he was only moving in that, means he was doing that, he didn't. But because Krishna is the source of knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. Krishna, he forgot, Gajendra forgot Krishna in this lifetime, but Krishna did not forget his devotional service. So Krishna gave him the remembrance of his own bhakti, and gave him the remembrance to take the lotus and offer it to Krishna, and that wonderful prayers of his where he completely, and when the prayers were not that Krishna save me, it may seem that okay, he's praying because he's now on a losing wicket. Not at all like that. Actually, he says, I'm surrendering to you, you do what, I'm yours, whatever you want to do. So Krishna sees that aspect of him, because in his prayers he speaks about Prahlad, and he extols the virtues of Prahlad's life and how the faith that Prahlad had. So Gajendra gets inspiration from that, and he also shows that faith. So it's that faith where he, at the time when he needed the most, Krishna came to rescue. So we can take inspiration from this, that how Krishna does not desert And even in our own life, we have seen so many devotees that at the time of passing away, Krishna does come in one form or the other. From nowhere, there have been devotees who have left the movement and Prabhupada's disciples were left, and then 10, 20, 30 years ago when they are leaving, about to leave their body, and then the circumstances come, seeming circumstances in such a way that Krishna comes and in various forms. So we have to accept Krishna's mercy in any way, and if we have led sincerely, he will reciprocate without doubt. So in Gajendra's life, what the lessons for us is that how we can surrender as he did, in not expecting anything but actually acknowledging Krishna's superiority, and knowing that in a sense it's like Draupadi, where nobody else could do anything. There are large surroundings of people who had material prowess but couldn't do anything, and they were helpless. Similarly, here in Gajendra's case also, nobody could do anything. And then Krishna comes and chops off the jaws of the crocodile, who also was anyway actually cursed to be a crocodile, that Gandharva or demigod, I forget. So Gajendra shows to us that the faith that he had also came as a remembrance from Krishna. Even though he had not in that lifetime, he had just led what an animal would do. You know, he had done as per his a normal animal existence, performed it fully. But because of his past bhakti on a very high level, Krishna remembered, and so Krishna will never forget us. We will forget him, he will not forget us. So that faith we have. Not to say that we do something, we abandon and then say that Krishna will remember. No, if that again, that is the, he is smarter than us, obviously, so therefore we can't play tricks with him. But if we have, he himself says that if a person has any, is overcome by challenges, overcome by Maya, and is in difficulties, but he has been a sincere person, it's a matter of time before, whether in this lifetime or another lifetime, Krishna will take us back. Because especially if we have come through the spiritual masters, we served a spiritual master. But it is not, another lesson is that it's not that we should wait for a crisis. And then we should think of this. Like, we may take that lesson from Gajendra that when he was pushed into a corner, then, no, because we are always in crisis, actually. We may think, you know, it's like a child just walking through the fire quickly, not knowing that he could have got burnt. You know, sometimes children are, they're blissfully unaware. So we are also blissfully unaware that we are in constant illusion. That danger is so much there, and it is said that life is like on a razor's edge. A spiritual life is like a razor's edge. A little mistake and we could get cut. So that mistake could be that abandonment of our practices or lack of awareness, carelessness. So it is not to put fear into us, not to get depressed, but to understand the how important it is that with full enthusiasm we try, at least seek that kind of association which constantly reminds us. Once a question was asked to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj that, you know, we may do all this, but that fear is still there, that in spite of trying to lead this, and then when the crunch time comes, you know, when we are old and we are going to leave our body, and supposing we don't we have that fear that we may make the wrong choices, and my mind will not go to Krishna, my mind will go to various other things. So Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj replied that actually that fear is a nice thing. It is not, we shouldn't get too paranoid, but some fear is necessary because we are constantly being conditioned. We are constantly being conditioned every moment. See, Maya is always giving us alternative choices to Krishna. So if we have been taking those choices and going to those various, accepting those various choices, then we are becoming, we are forming a habit. And when we form a habit, then eventually in our times of crisis, we will turn to those things which are habitual for us. So therefore, bhakti, he decided very nicely, he said, bhakti means reconditioning of our habits. So if you understand that, so this awareness of what our habits are, or introspection of what our habits are, is really consciousness of Krishna. So Krishna, consciousness is really the internal aspect wherein we examine and see. We may make mistakes, but then we feel guilty and we, because we, if we are an association of devotees and we are constantly hearing, somewhere or the other we will see that, well, I did this, I will not acknowledge that I did this, it was not right. But then you try to analyze and say that what went wrong. So here, this habits are there. We can't also just say that, well, what can I do? It's my nature. Well, it was not, we may say it was not our nature to come to Krishna consciousness. In one sense, yes, but in the way the heavy conditioning is, we wouldn't have come. But once we came and then we got an association, then so that mercy attracted us, and then we have made progress, because we have, it's not in everyone's nature to just chant two hours and to follow the regular principles, to, you know, come to Bhagavatam and, really make a complete radical change. So we've done that. So therefore that conditioning is first being aware, and secondly to make an attempt. So therefore this is a very optimistic situation for us, in that sense that when Maharaj says bhakti is the reconditioning of habit, means that we, if we are aware of what our habits are, and if we are making a mistake, then we have the every opportunity to correct it. And Krishna doesn't look at the past. He just sees the present and future. It's a wonderful deal. He just tells us, okay, let's look forward. What has happened has happened. That's insane. But it, of course, the later we do it, then we are ourselves, of course, if we deliberately, after having come in touch with Krishna consciousness, and we just keep being casual about it and delaying it, then we are playing with fire. But it may happen that our life is such, we are in Siberia, or we are staying in an igloo all the time and we've never came in touch. And then at the age of 65, somebody gives us a book. Then, of course, the life begins then. So that someone comes to Krishna consciousness at a late time. Most of the Western world are so fortunate that when Prabhupada went there, and the youngsters picked up first, but so many people from there also coming in contact. So whenever they came, whatever the age, say Gaur Govind Maharaj came when he was in his late 40s. Many devotees have come in their teens. It doesn't matter. Whatever time we came, we took it. Of course, His Holiness Gaur Govind Maharaj was already a very advanced devotee. And then Prabhupada's connection took him to a completely different level. But the point is that there are so many devotees, even in our congregation, who came. We had a devotee who had come in when he was in his 70s, he and his wife, and they were so sincere for the next 10-15 years, they were there. So whatever time is left, we should just accept it. So therefore that fear need not be there that we will be, what happens at that time, if we are actually concentrating on the process, and the process is introspecting, being aware, and constantly trying to improve. That effort has to be there. Rather than measuring that, have I gone from 62 to 64? Or have I gone from, at pass mark milega kini? Have I come to 35? That is not the way we look at it. We have to just, we should know that we need a lot of improvement. But the effort, the direction is clear, and we just concentrate on that. But you may say, is there any evidence that we are getting rewarded or we are getting benefited? Yes, there is evidence. Evidence is in three ways. The spiritual master is happy, or one is that if you are following many of the things laid down as requirements by the spiritual master, by our Guru Maharaj or by Prabhupada, there's many things are very clear what needs to be done. Prabhupada has said so many things, and so is our Guru Maharaj. They have also been saying what they would like to be done. There may be services, there may be personal instructions. And some of the basic tenets of spiritual life are also very clear. So, it is not easy to know, not difficult rather, to know. And if you are following that, then we should know that the spiritual master will be happy. Second is the devotees. We always see whether they are happy. And if the devotees are happy, by and large, and the devotees who are, particularly those who are very serious in Krishna consciousness, and if we see them, we are trying to serve them and we please them, then we also know that we are making advancement, we are also, we will be satisfying spiritual master, and therefore we will be satisfying Krishna. And the third and perhaps the most, definitely the most important is that it is stated in the Bhagavatam that this effort is yayatma suprasidati, which means it is very self-fulfilling, very very self-satisfying. So by doing the process, we find ourselves extremely happy. And this is something we experience it, we have done many, many times. But it is momentarily or it is not on a consistent basis. So what we have to bring is, first we need to be aware that yes, this is a natural process. Whatever we do, it may be in any form we are trying to, when the self is not us and the effort is to please someone else, that selflessness or that thinking out of our body means the thing, rather than thinking only about ourselves, and when we are thinking about others, knowing them as to be part of Krishna and knowing that that will please the Krishna and the spiritual master and the devotees, that consciousness is what is really pleasing. And without fail, it is like the sun is going to rise tomorrow. It is as certain as that, as sure as that, that if we follow this, we are going to feel contented. And we experience it. But then we sometimes don't acknowledge, don't realize it, and we don't do it consistently enough. And then we don't compare it with the so-called happiness that we may get from something which we create from a material object. So once we recognize that, then that is something which gives great encouragement, and also it is a proof, that the evidence, if we need, that this is the process which is actually worth all the trials and tribulations that we need to have. So basically, at the end of it, as Krishna himself said, faith in the spiritual master is critical. So that means basically faith itself has to be in the spiritual process, has to start. For which we have to battle our minds, and we cannot do it on our own. We have to take the help of, you know, the big daddies, and they are our the sincere devotees, the acharyas, and our living spiritual master, who will help us. And that's a consistent, lifelong thing, which becomes the most important priority for us. And then that actually improves the whole process of our it's a quality audit, in a sense, that we have with that even other things that we do will undergo drastic quality improvement. The behaviors also will melt. Many times we hear that this person was extremely harsh, a very, very tough person, very impersonal type, but he is mellowed now, he is so much softer, he is more approachable. So everything changes then, because then they see, so anyone who is sincerely following it will actually see that the process works in every aspect of their life, because the goal of the person automatically changes. It doesn't become the objectives that earlier were set. Now the objective is, how do I please the people who count in my life, and I don't measure it. I just want to, I get enough confidence in the evidence that people are happy, and I would like to intensify my effort to please them. So we'll stop here. Any question? Maybe, sure.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhupada, for this wonderful class. So in this verse, Guru Shushrusha, you began with that there is no ambiguity as per the scriptures. Emphatically, they are concluding that the serving spiritual master is the highest. So now, when the devotee comes into Krishna consciousness, so he is connected to one of the representative of a spiritual master, and for him, he can directly see him as the representative of spiritual master. Then over a period, he is exposed to the other bona fide representatives of a spiritual master, and then he serves with them. So in such a situation, how to have that exclusive dedication to the, because personalities are keep on changing, and relationships also keep on changing, and our relationship with the spiritual master is not also that close. So how to have an exclusive dedication to spiritual master and their representatives?
Actually, our movement is a very unique and glorious movement for many reasons, and this Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara in particular, they put a lot of stress on Shiksha Gurus as much as Diksha Gurus. Perhaps if you see, I have heard that actually, in fact, many of the Acharyas, you know, they have really had many Shiksha Gurus from whom they took directions. So in other words, there could be many who can, like for instance, Prabhupada is our Shiksha Guru, eternally. Like we have our Diksha Guru also. But there is no dichotomy, there is no difference, there is no conflict. If there is, then there is a, then if there is a, see there may be difference in styles, time, place and circumstance, it may be difference in particular service, how to do it. That's a relatively narrower way. But in a larger context, there will not be any difference in the instructions on how, what should be our attitude in, to do a particular task, what should be our desire to, so therefore, actually, even personalities may be three or four or five, but if you see them as guides, so then we can have many guides, and serving them, we know that is pleasing our spiritual master, the one whom we've taken initiation from, and therefore it will please Prabhupada. So, so it is not inconsistent with the instruction that is given. It's just that, so you may, we should not also expect that we'll have perfect unanimity with every individual. So, because everybody is not a pure devotee. I mean, we should again not say the philosophy is perfect. So, there are very advanced devotees, very sincere devotees, and people may have their own individual weaknesses, not for us to judge, but we may be at the receiving end sometimes. But the important thing is that if they are sincerely following, and there's full sincerity in their effort also, then the instructions that, and if you have been given a particular service, then we should do it to the best of our ability. And in case there is doubt, then we can always clarify this, if not the spiritual master, then some of the others, if we come to that level. But the doubt has to be if there is on a significant level, not on the level of manner of doing a particular service. So there may be differences in skills or in techniques. Those will always be there. That's a personality driven individual. But on the larger philosophical aspect or behavioral aspect, if there are expectations are different. See, the person's, the individual may have a different behavioral trait or a different personality. That is fine. If they're sincere, if there can be so many different aspects. But if you are expected to be very different, for instance, you know, if I am, we have been told all the time by, Prabhupada has laid down many times, and Maharaj lives, Radhanath Maharaj lives by this principle that Trinadapi Sunichana Tarurapi Sahishnam. That becomes a guiding principle for in our behavior, in attitude to devotees, non-devotees, as much as possible. So, now if there is something seriously, if we are in a service where we are supposed to be going against that, if something, then that's something we should need to question, and we can always check out. But otherwise, you know, there is room, going to be room, and in fact, Krishna will create that just to see that whether because everything is harmonious, then where is the question of any challenge to test our faith of obedience and surrender? See, the mind will always want you know, if we would say that, well, you know, we may tend to criticize and say that this is wrong and he or she doesn't know this. And but before that, we need to judge and, see against the basic that if there is a very genuine, sincere approach, but then there's a different style of approach, then, but it is not with any malicious intent, it is not devious, it is not directly against me, then, we have to accept it. That's part of the process. I mean, I think Journey Home book, in a large sense, actually is practically on that basis only. You know? We see in Radhanath Swami Maharaj's life, even in Bhakti Tirth Maharaj's life, in his book, even Tamakrishna Maharaj, if I remember, servant of the servant. I mean, many of these books, you see that there have been many occasions when the mind may be rebelling and saying do this or do that, but then they just analyzed it and stuck to certain things. So, That's what they have. So we stop here. Sorry. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.